Yippee-ki-yay, merry friends. You know that tired debate over whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie? Die Hard is such a Christmas movie that even its direct sequel is also a Christmas movie. Yes, John McClane is traveling for the holidays once again, and you really think he'd have learned his lesson the first time. But nope, he's back to Die Harder, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier. This is the number one movie in America. I'm here with two people who just wanted to watch at this party. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Fuck.
And Camila Adams.
Get me out of this room.
Just here for the drinks. Guy was rich. I thought it would be a nice time. Eyes Wide Shut. 65 2/3. Hey, we have now rated 7 holiday movies. Our favorite was Iron Man 3. Okay.
Huh. It's good. I watch it every year.
Yeah. 80 2/3. That is a 1-point win over Home Alone. We liked it better than Home Alone.
So Home Alone is so creepy.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Camila probably had a low score on that one, because I remember you being really fixated on how this child is evil.
Possibly.
Well, I mean, we act like the good son is a change in his character.
Right,
it's really not.
Same kid.
Yeah. He was just given an outlet, too.
Right. Like.
No, we were very even.
Oh, okay.
Camila, 81. Robin, 78. Sean, 80.
Oh, so I tanked it.
You tanked
it.
I had the
famously
one.
Grinchy. So.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Christmas tree? Fuck it.
Iron Man 3, then Home Alone, then Scrooged, Batman Returns, and Eyes Wide Shut ahead of A Christmas Story. As we said, Camila and I did Bracket Night.
Yes.
And it was very validating when the whole panel went, Christmas Story's okay. And the room kind of agreed. Like, maybe it won one round? It didn't go far.
I think everyone was looking for a safe space.
Yeah.
To admit to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, it's just been put upon us all of our lives that this is the greatest Christmas story ever. But in Bracket Night, mm-hmm. my first time, enjoyed myself. Hopefully they'll ask me back and I'll know what I'm doing next time. But.
No, you were great.
The best thing that happened was I found out that Sean Collier has groupies.
Yes! This happened when I did Bracket Night with him. Bracket Night, by the way, is a Pittsburgh show. It's regularly at Arcade Comedy Theater, but you can see it in many venues mm-hmm. around town. And it's basically that kind of thing where you put two movies head to head and you choose which one wins, and you brackets on to the almost always dubious winner. It's not always movies. It can be things like
soup.
Pittsburgh sandwiches. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did soup.
And funny. It's funny people being funny.
Correct. Yeah. It's funny people being funny. It's a really great show. And it is true. Sean Collier has groupies.
Listen, I was delighted to learn. I have learned if you repeatedly appear on local network television, then you will get fans, and it's nice. It's very, very nice. Especially Katie Tarara's mom is just the sweetest. I really appreciate this. I just want to say, when people approach me, barely ever, though let's not overstate it, mm-hmm. but it has taught me, for famous people in general, if you approach, and I'm not famous, you know what I mean, known people, if you approach a stranger because you know them from a thing, you don't have to make that a long conversation. You are free to say, oh my, hey, I watch, I heard, I listen, I thing, hey, keep doing what you're doing, have a good one.
Right,
that's wonderful every time. For some reason, everyone wants to tell me where they live, and they're like, oh, we live just down the street.
Oh,
good for living there. Like,
way to live there.
I started doing the TV thing during the pandemic, so I didn't realize that people knew my face now.
Right.
And then I started going back out, and it was like summer 21, maybe even spring 21, we were at a horror con, Dawn of the Dead weekend, Living Dead weekend at Moreauville Mall, and someone stopped me, and we were desperately trying to rush upstairs to get a photo with Scream Queen Linnea Quigley. And this woman trapped me in a conversation about I watch you on television for a good 8 minutes. And Mary Beth, like, is actually by the end of it just laughing her ass off at me just trying to nod politely. And well, we were gonna, she's just standing next to me laughing at this encounter. That sounds very unflattering. It's nice to be on television.
Yeah, let me know if you want me to cut that out, Sean, if you're like, oh, wait, I genuinely love my fans.
No, I do genuinely. Look, I don't have fans. I have people who know who I am, and it's nice when they say hello. Just sometimes, you know, move on with the conversation.
But look, it's, I mean, sometimes it's also like some people have a little social anxiety. I speak to myself. Yeah. That if I were in your position, Sean, I would also feel some kind of weird way to be in a conversation with someone I don't know longer than 30 seconds.
Listen, it takes more than I can tell you. It takes more than 20 years to go from the weird kid in high school to dealing with strangers who know who you are. That's like a 3-decade turnaround, I'm betting. No, but Bracket Night was great. We had a great time. Hopefully we'll do all three of us once, because I did one with Robin and I did one with Camila. We have not
that would be amazing.
Assembled the full
team.
What do they call it in Avengers. Power Rangers?
I don't know, actually. Mm. I should know.
The Megazord?
That sounds right.
Sure. Sounds right. And it's okay that Elf won. I mean,
Dan was thrilled because he loves that damn movie.
People really love it. I think it's fine.
I enjoy it.
Like, good. I think it's good.
Yeah,
but I'm famously Grinchy, but I'm never like, you know what I want to watch? Elf.
No, I refuse to watch Elf in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's December only. That's it. That's all it's allowed. But it's an enjoyable film.
But it beat Preacher's Wife in the first round.
I mean, I get it.
I guess that Preacher's Wife is underseen.
It is underseen.
Which is why I feel like there was an unjust that was done.
I have a question. And this is spoilers for Preacher's Wife and Bishop's Wife. Is she literally an angel?
He is.
He's an angel.
Yeah, Denzel.
Okay.
She's the preacher's wife.
Great.
And did they literally think about fucking? Because there's like a good half hour of the movie.
Like innuendo. I don't think, you know, it's like, you know, it's one of those, because she doesn't know he's an angel.
But he knows he's an
angel. He knows he's an angel.
And there's half an hour where he's like, I might.
Yeah,
know.
He's like willing to risk it all.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like giving vibes too. And he's like, and then God's like, hey, bro, you got a job.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're corporeal.
It beat Preacher's Wife. It beat The Grinch short.
Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown in the final, didn't it?
Yeah.
The only way that you could get away with that is if you're like, Charlie Brown is a TV program.
Collier.
So what happened was I yelled that all the way through the bracket until it was Elf and Charlie Brown. And I was like, I redact everything. Vote for Charlie Brown.
It is better than Elf. It's more important to the culture and better.
In any case, Bracket Night, good times. Hopefully we'll be back. But whether or not we're back, go back, because it's a good show and a good time. Yep. But we're here for Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
Die Harder.
Or maybe not. Maybe that was just the tagline. Nobody seems to know.
No, it was on
it's
the...
It's on the posters. It's not in the film, though.
Yeah. I had not died harder before yesterday.
Neither had I.
I had many, many times.
I'm guessing Robin had.
Damn it, Robin.
Sorry.
So you warned us. You were like, temper your expectations.
Yeah.
Because snap reaction, like, there's a lot of cool stuff in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't quite die hard, but it dies medium.
Dies soft.
Turgid.
It dies with the approximate hardness of like a frisbee, you know? Like it's bending, but it retains its shape. Camila, how are you on...
I don't love it. I don't hate it either. Like it was... I was entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not mind. It got me to the point where I was like, you know what? I wouldn't mind doing a marathon because I enjoy a good movie binge marathon situation. Like, yeah, if you're more than three, all right, sure, sign me up.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
If it were a drive-in double feature, I would not leave.
Right.
But if I nodded off, that would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally dozed off while I was watching it last night, woke up and was able to come right back in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It gets a little repetitive in the middle.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it so much more than I thought I would watching it the other day. And maybe I was in the perfect mood for it. You know, also, we got a new toy for our TV.
Oh, yeah.
I just got to talk about this
for a minute. I want to hear about this.
So it's so stupid. We spent several hundred dollars to have this toy.
It's not the TV.
It's not the TV. It is just the toy. And what it is it's from the Philips Hue line mm-hmm. of products. Like mm-hmm. we have all smart lights in our house, which like it this is the number one technological improvement in my life in the last 10 years is being able to control the lights in my house with my cell phone.
Love it.
Anyway, this is a colored light strip that goes through the Apple TV.
Specifically the Apple, like, can
you
I just plug this into my TV or no?
You just plug it into your TV.
Okay.
Which is annoying and complicated.
Yeah.
You have to have some kind of device attached to your TV that uh-huh. you're streaming things through.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If your TV has an HDMI out, you can just plug it into your TV.
Okay.
Hmm. But I don't think most TVs do. Regardless, no. It uses the information of what is playing on your television to create lights that shine off the back of your television.
Oh.
And create... I don't know.
Ambiance
and coolness. Yeah, I'll have to show, like, there's really no way to describe it in a podcast.
It's like if you, like, when you see people's Christmas lights displayed to music.
Yes.
Something like that.
But, like, when he is in the luggage area and there's, like, a red light mm-hmm. going oh. around, like, the red oscillating oh, wow. light
really?
Oscillates behind my TV.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So if you
How
watch
distracting.
If you watch
It's not distracting. It's awesome.
So if you watch Avatar, it's going to shine so blue and so hard that your walls will change color.
Yes.
They will be painted after those 3 hours.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
That does sound fun. I wish I had one of those.
I mean, funsies. We've been talking about getting it for years, and finally we were like, we're doing this.
I didn't even know it existed. Yeah. Like, that's amazing.
Anyway, I really, really enjoyed watching it, and I was like, maybe I was too harsh on Die Harder last week when I was like, but I guess I'm glad you didn't go in thinking, yay, more Die Hard, because even though it is very literally more Die Hard, it just, it's nowhere near as good as Die Hard, but that's an incredibly high bar.
I mean, I've seen Die Hard once, maybe twice, so I didn't really go in here with any kind of expectations whatsoever.
All right.
Other than,
that was going to be my next question, because I know that Sean loves Die Hard,
and
I love Die Hard.
But only recent, I mean, I saw Die Hard for the first time for an episode of You Can't Handle the Truth.
That's wild.
Like five-ish years ago.
Even though I know that you haven't seen movies made before the year 2000, I'm continually amazed.
Isn't it weird? Here's a plug. Come to the Harris Theater on Sunday, January 8th, where I'm hosting a Abbott and Costello double feature.
Fun.
Meet Frankenstein and Meet the Mummy. And they're like, we're welcoming back our favorite classic movie host. And I'm like, when did I change? I used to be the no old movies guy. Now I'm the only old movies guy. The pandemic. It was the pandemic.
Yeah.
No, I, you know, as a recent person who loves Die Hard, this is an acceptable sequel.
Yes.
It's not keeping up, but what could? What right. possibly could?
I also really started to appreciate young Bruce Willis more.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch Moonlighting?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
He's, you know, because that's a little bit before my time, but they re-aired the series on Bravo in the early days of Bravo. And
oh, really?
I just was like, this man is a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yep.
Unless he's singing, then he doesn't really.
That is true. Although he did sing multiple times on that show.
Well, he didn't have creative control over the singing. Anyway,
Okay.
If you haven't, or haven't in a while, Camila is going to handle this one. We need to know what, how this guy ended up, and yes, four times during the movie, someone says, can you believe again?
Why does this keep happening to us?
So here's Camila Adams with a 60-second recap of Die Hard 2, which may or may not be Die Harder. Go.
On Christmas Eve, John McClane is in D.C. waiting on his wife's plane to arrive. John notices a whole mess of dudes looking suspect. He kills one of them and tries to alert airport police, but they aren't listening. Colonel Stewart and his boys take over the air traffic control towers from an old church so they can help corrupt military leader Esperanza escape. They aren't letting any planes land until he's freed, and Mrs. McClane is on one of those planes that needs to land. Stewart is tapped into the tower so they can't communicate with the planes. John takes out a bunch of dudes, talks mad shit to Stewart. He fucked around and found out because Stewart then crashes a random plane on the runway. Airport engineer Leslie figures out how to talk to some of the planes. U.S. Special Forces agent gets involved with Major Grant leading. Grant does not like John. Esperanza's plan lands, but John gets to him first. Esperanza escapes and John is trapped in the plane. Stewart showers him with bullets and grenades. John escapes by ejector seat. When John and Leslie find the old church, Grant and his team join, but they escape on snowmobiles. John goes after them. Plot twist, Grant and his team are working with Stewart. John fights Grant and Stewart on a moving plane. Stewart kicks him off thinking he's won, but gets yippee-ki-yay'd, motherfucker.
Yep. That'll do. 59 seconds, exactly.
I started to get trapped in what felt like a Seuss moment.
Well, that's the thing. The back hour of this movie, there's a lot of, like, I know we haven't solved things yet, but what exactly is the objective?
I also kept wanting it to be, because in Die Hards 1, 3, and 4, they don't actually have a political motivation. They're just robbing people.
Yeah.
I kept expecting that to happen in this movie, and I, even though I've seen it dozens of times, and then I was like, no, wait, they really are just trying to free this guy?
Yeah.
Weird.
So there wasn't a political motivation in the first one. Like I said, I don't remember. They're just robbing.
I mean, they pretend. In 1, 3, and 4, each time they're like, we are terrorists. And then it's like, no, we're just thieves.
We just want money.
Yeah.
Which is more interesting.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's interesting because 3 and 4 were not written as Die Hard movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into it. Let's go to Faxy because I'm fascinated by some of this. But first, this was released 4th of July, 1990, 13th number one movie of that year, made $21.7 million. It was released alongside Jetsons the Movie,
which I saw in theaters.
Had some good songs.
I also would like to say, once again, being released in the summer is not disqualifying for Christmas movies.
No.
Same with Eyes Wide Shut.
Yep.
And Die Hard.
And Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jetsons was not a runaway hit. Debuted in fourth place, $5 million. Die Hard 2 repeated at number one the next weekend ahead of the debuting Ghost.
Oh.
$14.5 million to $12.1 million. Ghost went to number one in its second weekend, switching spots with Die Hard 2. Die Hard 2 ended up eighth overall for the year, $117.5 million. First was Home Alone, $285 million. And Ghost was second. Ghost held better, $217 million. This is one of three Die Hard on our list. The original in 1988 started in third behind Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Coming to America. Never got higher than second. Die Hard is not a number one movie in America.
Oh.
Obviously, Die Hard 2 was for 2 weeks. Die Hard with a Vengeance in 1995 spent 1 week as the number one movie. 2007's Live Free or Die Hard opened in second behind Ratatouille, and 2013's A Good Day to Die Hard opened just barely in first, edging out the second week of Identity Thief. So
it's so funny to me, like the amount of movies that are on this list that are franchises that the first one did not make it to number one, but like the rest of them are like
caught on later. So it's 2, 3, and 5 are number one movies, but this is the second highest grossing Die Hard. Live Free, the big reboot, not reboot, the big return after a long layoff, is first, $134 million, and then Die Hard 2, then with a Vengeance made about $100 million. The original made about $83 million. The last one, Good Day to Die Hard, grossed just $67 million.
It's bad.
I remember it being bad.
I was
reviewing
say
by then.
When Camila said that she might do a marathon, I was like, just stop after 4. 4's enough. And like 5, it's not like terrible.
When
it's
did
not
5 come out?
2013.
I saw it in the theater. This was the era of us living in Cape Town where we had no friends and we went to the movies all the time. And so there's a ton of stuff that I have seen in the theater from 2012 and 2013. And I remember leaving that theater like, it feels icky how underwhelming it was. And it's not bad, you know, it's just like, oh, everybody who made this movie should feel kind of ashamed of themselves. Like,
we didn't have to do this, guys.
Yes, right. It's not necessary. Sorry, continue with the facts.
No, it's fine. Just saying they all did great overseas, like in South Africa, where Robin saw it. That's half the reason Bruce Willis made 40 directed video action movies, because they're endlessly marketable, because every Die Hard did great all around the world. Yeah, here's the fun fact. Both Die Hard and Die Hard 2 are based on books.
Yeah, I noticed that in the trailer.
Yes. Die Hard is based on Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe. Die Hard 2 is based on 58 Minutes by Walter Wager.
Isn't that by the same dudes?
No, not connected books.
Huh.
And 58 Minutes is not particularly, like, it was successful. But the only important thing about that book is that it became Die Hard 2. This is where it gets complicated. The book that inspired the original Die Hard, Nothing Lasts Forever, that book is a sequel, okay?
Oh.
Thorpe's first novel in the series with the same character in the books, it's Detective Joe Leland. So the book that became Die Hard was the sequel to a book called The Detective. So how come we didn't get a John McClane prequel, since there was already a source material?
I mean, yet.
Well, because that movie already exists.
Wait, what?
The Detective from 1968, starring Frank Sinatra.
You are fucking kidding me.
Has the Leland name, but that's John McClane. The 1968 movie the detective with Frank Sinatra is the same character as Die Hard.
Today I learned. Right. Yeah. Oh, jeez. My goodness. Is this movie available in the world? I want to watch
it.
Yeah,
you can find it. The detective. It's a Die Hard, maybe? Also,
Sinatra. Wow.
Also, right? The book that Die Hard was based on was inspired by that writer going and watching The Towering Inferno. So maybe Die Hard is in the Towering Inferno cinematic universe?
This universe is ginormous.
I don't know what to do with this information.
I just literally saw Robin's head just like crick.
Yeah. Just the tendrils are branching. What do I have to watch? What letterbox list do I have to make?
The Towering Inferno.
Is it like Die Hard?
It's a bunch of action in a tall building. Yeah. So yes.
Yeah, sure. Wild connections there. I really want to see the Sinatra one now. As you indicated, who knows what the future holds? There was nearly a prequel or something called McClane, which would have gone back to the 70s. Maybe with Bruce Willis, maybe without Bruce Willis, maybe with Bruce Willis narrating over somebody else playing the character. That was canceled. There's some talk about getting a series going on Hulu. I mean, who knows with his health and what.
Right, he's retired.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. He's not well.
I guess you can bounce back from that, but it's not very likely.
Oh, I didn't. I just kind of thought that this was, he won't be able to speak for the rest of his life or speak coherently.
I think that's not guaranteed. Like, you can get better, but it's tricky. Yeah. And probably, can you get better enough to make a Die Hard movie?
Right.
Maybe, maybe not.
I'd like to think that Bruce has enough cash in the bank that he doesn't have to.
I hope he's still happy.
He could comfortably retire. I think I saw a photo of him with his families recently, and they looked okay.
Yeah, and even after that announcement, there was like pictures of him on the top of the real life Nakatomi Plaza for the such and such anniversary. So like, he's okay. It's just it's an odd condition, and then it gets into the very dicey material of, do you want to be like, don't make 40 bad video action movies because then you might have to retire. I mean, that sounds cruel, but also like, there's one came out like a month ago gets panned left and right, and it's like, oh, so we're gonna have to have like 8 more of these and be like, yep, that's the last thing Bruce did.
Oh, damn.
But also he can't work for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
I'm glad he banked all that cash.
Right, seriously. Like,
I don't know what kind of, most of those he showed up for one day and he's in 15 minutes of the movie. They knock it out and we're done. But then I read he got like $2 million each for those. I assume
good for him.
Wow.
And I'm with all that he made, like he's gonna be okay.
He's gotta be sitting very well.
Good. Like, for him.
Like, just take the fucking retirement, bro, and like work on yourself. Like, this is fine. Quietly.
One of the characters in Triangle of Sadness had aphasia, so he could go on a luxury yacht. Hopefully with a better outcome.
I might watch that today is a sentence I've said about Triangle of Sadness on 10 recent days.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah. My favorite character is Desk Agent Desperate to Fuck John McClane.
Oh,
love her.
My God. Yeah. She is the horniest woman ever captured on film.
Mm-hmm. For someone that horny, you think she would have noticed the ring, like, initially. Like,
I don't think she cares. No.
she works in an airport. You know, things get... My least favorite.
Things get anonymous. Well, yeah.
My least favorite character is Dumb Janitor. That whole plot. Ugh.
Why?
Because it's. Why is he. This is my only problem with this movie. By the end of it, there's just too much going on. He's trying to. His wife's on the one plane, and the newscaster from the first movie is going to screw everything up. But then the army guys showed up. Oops, they're double crossing. And for a while, we were with the tech guy, but he got shot. The T-2000 was here for a second. I don't even know where he went. And all of these layers of what really needs to be no more complicated than, I'm going to make a plane fall if you don't do everything I say.
Right.
And in the midst of all this, every now and then, he goes to the dumbest, most annoying guy in the airport to help with this and that.
What? Why can't I remember the name of the actor who plays Sipowicz?
Dennis Franz.
Yeah, okay.
Is this how he got the job? Because this is well before NYPD Blue, right?
Yeah, a few years.
No, he goes to the janitor guy and is like, show me a map of, because I only travel through ducts.
Yes.
That, I was like, oh, come on.
No, my least favorite character is Sipowicz because... Yeah. He just is too contrary. Can he agree with something ever?
He's like pissed off about everything. He
just
hates
everything.
He's just being mad at McClane just for the sake of it.
Right.
That said, they should have arrested McClane almost immediately.
He killed a guy.
He killed a whole man.
He's walking into control towers, running on the runway, starting fires. I know that, like, had he not been there, the terrorists would have won. Not worth it. Like,
it's just one evil drug dealing general, right?
Yeah.
They didn't know that beforehand. Like, he's just wreaking havoc the whole way through. But you're right. Like, you are on the runway with fire. What are you doing?
And that didn't even work. I assumed when he went out there and did the torches, like, ah, clever. He's going to make it. Nope, they're all dead anyway.
I really like, though, that he fails there.
That
is a harrowing scene. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I watched this movie 100% expecting it to work. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. And I like that he doesn't always win his battles.
Little humility.
Yes.
That scene was very jarring.
Yeah.
Like, because you're right. You go in expecting him to win.
Right.
And then even when he doesn't, it's like, oh, but it's not going to, like, really do that. But oh, shit. The whole thing blew up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whole thing on fire. Everybody dead. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little note there. If that happens near you, don't go walking around the flaming wreckage with jet fuel everywhere. Yeah. It's probably not safe yet.
Although,
have a poignant moment.
Right.
Of all the things that don't hold up to scrutiny in this movie, this is one of the smallest ones. But aren't they landing because they have no fuel left?
That's a good point.
Maybe there's things like transmission fluid.
If they crash an airplane, some fire's going to happen.
I'm sure there's plenty of alcohol on board.
But like huge fireball. Maybe not.
It's not that often you get two whole jet explosions. That's really the die harder of it all. It's like we're going to blow up a plane twice.
Yeah.
I would like to know why we needed to see William Sadler do naked Tai Chi.
I would like to answer that question because dude is keeping it tight.
Oh my God.
Too muscly for you?
No, it's just it's just something about him. Like he's just not, maybe, I don't know. It's just, I think what maybe also just, no, I've never seen it for William Sadler.
Okay.
And what's funny is like maybe a couple hours before that, I just happened to watch a Law and Order with him on
really?
From season 13 or something.
It's like fate Googled it for you. When you're like, oh, I wonder what he looks like. Nope, it's been answered. Yeah, that's got to be a record. That's full male nudity in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It goes on for quite some time.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the synchronized exit. Of everyone, I just imagine the rest of them are just kind of like hanging out by the peephole. It's like, and now.
I love the setting because just like seeing the people rush through the airport, I'm already tense.
Yeah.
Like I'm tense just from the travel of it all before anything goes wrong.
Right.
It really worked.
Traveling on Christmas? Oh, God bless you. And then it just goes, you have nowhere to go but up from there with everything else that happens.
Christmas Day, by the way, great day to fly.
Yeah. We
Christmas
did it once.
Eve, don't.
No, we did it once. Yeah. We came back to Pittsburgh from D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Tell us how that went this weekend, listeners, because we're recording before the holiday. Right. And everyone's going to get their flights canceled on the 23rd and 24th. Try to travel on the 25th. Think they're coming back on the 26th. You're not. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Hey, if we're helping you through that gridlock, you're welcome.
Godspeed.
Speaking of the horny receptionist, mm-hmm. I do really like the joke. The joke when he gets says just the facts, ma'am. I laughed way too long.
It's funny. It's a good joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even before he starts breaking the law, let's just reflect on sitting and smoking at the airport with your gun.
Yeah.
With the gun that you have with you. And then commandeering a desk agent's time.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve.
All impossible things.
Never gonna happen.
No, he's funnier in this one.
He is pretty funny. There were a lot of like little cute one-liners and stuff that I really appreciated.
I think part of it is that he's alone for so much of the original Die Hard.
Yeah.
One thing that I love Die Hard, but I've always been like, that man talks to himself a lot. A lot. Yeah, so this one he has an audience.
That's true.
For most of the movie.
Yeah.
He has Sipowitz to yell at.
Right.
Again and again. And the guy above him, like the whoever was in charge, what's that actor's name? You know,
Law and Order.
Oh, Fred Thompson.
Fred Thompson.
Former Senator Fred Thompson.
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley wasn't available, Fred Thompson. He switches how he feels about John McClane 14 times in
Wouldn't
this movie.
You?
Yeah. Well, no. I would be with him. I'd be with, like, oh, you were the guy with the terrorists. Cool. Step two. I'm going to arrest you just to calm everybody down. Right. That, and then
you murdered
be it.
A guy. You're getting arrested. You probably won't go to jail for it, but you're going to get arrested.
Yeah, like nobody like literally talked about it ever again.
Yeah.
Like, it's just there's a dead body there.
Right.
There are a lot of people, a lot of actors in this movie that it's just like, hey, it was just a consistent, hey, it's that guy.
Casey Lemon's husband.
Who's?
Casey Lemon's the director, her husband, whose name I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, not Tom Verica.
No. I think his name is like Curtis something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now yeah. I know. Yeah. He got killed really
right,
quickly.
Yeah.
Yes. The only black guy in the crew. That was, I'm pretty sure, in the bad guy's crew.
I think there's a few. John Amos is one of them.
Well, yeah, later yeah, we'll find out.
Right.
But, like, the
right. Okay,
one.
That's right. Okay, the original crew. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
But also John Amos. It was yeah. like, hey, good to see
I
you.
I love John Amos.
Like, it's like, I
he
love
comes
him.
To work.
Right.
He's always there.
It's like
right?
somebody called John Hare.
Yes.
There he is.
And he's like, I've got a whole character backstory written for this three-line part.
Exactly.
They did dramatically underestimate how much I wanted to hang out with Reginald Val Johnson again. They're like, oh. as long as he calls in, it's fine. Like, no.
Yeah.
I want 10 minutes in, he's walking through with suitcases like, I was going on vacation. Well, you're back in it now, buddy.
I completely agree. Yeah. I assume he was busy.
Yeah.
That would
yeah.
have been wonderful.
I feel like they would have had more of him because that dynamic is so great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
No, I enjoy the bit with the ejector seat and he's up
yeah.
in the air
yeah.
and planes are blowing up and they're shooting up the church. I did feel it was unnecessary to kill the old man in the church very, very quickly at the beginning.
They probably could have just asked him to leave. He probably
right. He's just like, bye.
It's like, yeah, you're right. I'm yeah. gonna go.
But it's fine. It's especially as like a
I think it's pretty good, actually.
Like a throw it on. It's got problems, but man, that's sleepy. I'm not doing anything tonight. Oh, look what's on TBS.
Right.
It's the perfect, like, okay, I'm looking for a 90s action
mm-hmm.
film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do it. Like, go ahead, throw Die Harder in. And it even said Die Harder on Vudu. When I
yeah, I think that it. Is the real title of the movie.
Did you catch when they're on the plane and they're just looking at the magazine? There's a Lethal Weapon ad.
I
like,
did catch that.
I missed that.
Oh, we didn't get to 3 and 4. 3 is based on a loose script, like a script that was floating around
uh-huh.
that briefly was almost bought as Lethal Weapon 4.
Are and you kidding me?
And instead was bought as Die Hard 3.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Have you seen that one?
No. That's Jeremy Irons, right?
Yes, that was. Neither of you have
wait,
seen it?
Wait, the Die Hard?
Die Hard with a Vengeance?
I don't know.
Okay, listen, it's not a Christmas movie, but you got to watch it wick immediately. It's the second best one.
Really?
And it's great. And Sam Jackson is in it. So he's like the secondary character.
I know I saw the one with Timothy Olyphant, so it must have been one after that.
Yeah. That one's pretty good. Like that, I would say that's roughly equivalent to 2,
mm-hmm.
4, in my opinion.
I just
but
remember
no,
like,
3 is genuinely great.
I remember him being like, you went through a wall. Are you okay? Are you okay? Because you went through a wall.
Speaking of your knowledge of this, I want to jump ahead to Letterboxd. My Letterboxd list is the 90s dad thriller canon.
Ooh.
And I want to read it because it's a good the dad.
I want to watch everything on it.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. The dad thriller was a genre of movie made by Hollywood studios in the 1990s, marketed mainly to men and presented sincerely, if not always accurately, as intelligent and sophisticated
Crimson
entertainment.
Tide.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The dad thriller draws on courtroom dramas, spy movies, the conspiracy thrillers of the
firm.
1970s, and the action blockbusters of the 1980s. The vibe is action movie you might be able to convince your wife to see because it's sort of about politics, science, and or legal stuff.
I love it.
And I'm looking and I'm like, okay, Die Hard, there's Sneakers, there's
great.
Glengarry Glen Ross, there's mm-hmm. The Firm, there's The Fugitive,
yeah.
Speed. I'm like, wait a minute, this is Robin's favorite genre.
I literally was about to say, I think this is my favorite
this
genre.
This is where it is. This is where you live.
Yes.
Robin is a 90s dad.
I mean, I kind of adopted my personality directly from my father, who was mm-hmm. literally a 90s dad.
Right,
so
right.
It makes sense.
I mean, I would be surprised if there's any on here that you haven't seen, because it's such...
Well, it explains why there's so many of those that I hadn't seen until adulthood. Like
right, and also, let's be real, this podcast.
Right, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
No, but they're all like, yeah, I'd watch that right now.
Yeah.
True Lies. I saw True Lies for the first time recently.
Great movie.
What a fun time.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah. And the trailer.
Listen, honey, when you land, can we check into a hotel, we'll leave the kids with your parents, order some room service?
You're on, Lieutenant.
I'll see you in about a half an hour, honey.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Christmas Eve.
there a cop on duty around here?
Airport police.
Go get him.
Washington, D.C. International Airport.
What's this about?
Oh, just a feeling I have.
Ouch. When you get those feelings, insurance companies start to go bankrupt.
The tower's lost control.
Instrument landing system is down.
We've got blizzard conditions. Zero visibility.
Attention all controllers. We have a code red alert.
There's panic in the air.
Professional mercenary. You got the world's biggest drug dealer on his way here now. What do you need, a slide rule to figure this out?
You get the hell out of my office before I throw you out of my damn airport.
And terror on the ground.
Who is this?
Who I am is unimportant. What I want is very important.
Oh, we are just up to our neck in terrorists again, John.
But for police officer John McLean,
hear what I'm writing?
It's just another Christmas.
You're the wrong guy in the wrong place at the wrong time.
My life.
Last time, it blew you through the back wall of the theater.
Got a cowboy ride too rough?
I don't like to fly.
What are you doing here?
I don't like to lose either.
This time, it'll blow you sky high.
Is this what you expected?
No. This is just the beginning.
On July 4th, Die Harder. Bruce Willis, Die Hard 2.
Unboop. The trailer promises a good Die Hard time.
I think that the trailer is a very clear and accurate depiction of what will happen
If
you watch this movie.
Yeah, totally. Like, if I were to see that trailer today, I would be interested, you know, sight unseen, not knowing anything about it. If it were released today, I'd be like, yeah, I might go see that. But my favorite part of the trailer was, like, last time it threw you through the back of the theater.
Let's calm now.
Were you there, sir? You don't know. Just relax.
It's going to depend on the speaker setup, you know, what time I saw the showing. It's, if anything, the trailer might overpromise a little bit, because I was convinced we were getting Air Force One-esque on-plane action. And there's not a lot of
that. Is true.
Yeah, that.
There is no on-plane action, really, other than old dude getting tased.
Yeah. Bringing a taser onto an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing not happening today.
Another thing. I mean, I get it. It's like, oh, he's doing the news again. And that, like, played a role in the unfolding. You could have cut the whole thing.
I agree.
I feel like the only, like, I went through that same line of thinking as well throughout this. Like, why did we need this subplot? But it was, I guess, for the panic at the end.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody, yeah. For that to make it a little more difficult for them to save the day.
Okay.
Like, with all the, because that's the only way everybody found, the masses found out about what was happening.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, fuck this. People were climbing over tables. Shit.
Here's all I'll say. I mean, I know people like to see their families and shit, but, like, do you know how quickly I would have bailed on those travel plans?
Oh, my God.
If you get to the airport and you see they're all going canceled, I'm giving it, like, 30 minutes.
Tops.
And then I'm like, I'm either driving or going home.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
I feel like people who have never spent a holiday without their family, like, staring, like, now that COVID made everybody spend a holiday without their family, or almost everybody, I feel like you realize, like, oh, it's okay.
We'll be fine.
Yeah. It comes back next year. Yeah.
Nothing happens next week anyway. We'll go on, like, the 28th.
Right.
What are we missing?
Right.
Yeah.
That first Christmas where you think you're not going to see your family and you celebrate Christmas, you're like, oh, no. And then you do it and you're like, wait a second.
You know, it's not worth it. And then you get a lot of Chinese takeout. Out and you fall asleep on the couch and you're like, this was a good night.
That's what I do every year.
Yeah. A number, like a rating for Die Hard 2?
I give it the 71.
I give it 5 bonus points for William Sadler's butt. And then I subtract 2 points for the one, I probably will say it wrong because it's so terrible, but the one moment of John McClane pretending to be funny and he's not, where he says, what sets off the metal detector first, the lead in your ass or the shoot in your brains?
Right. I was like,
that neither, you need to workshop that
either.
Joke a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Subtracting 2 points for that.
That doesn't work.
So the butt bone. You saw his dick, right? I can't be the only one that noticed there's clear dick in the movie.
I did not see his dick.
I was looking.
I will be going back.
I
wish everyone could see the little gesture that Camila just made.
let's remember this the next time I am well too aware of whether or not nipples were visible in a given scene. I'm searching across the gender spectrum. I want to know what I can see and if I can see it. It was in the mirror. Oh, he was near a mirror.
I see. I was just transfixed on that ass. Let's be real.
Great ass.
Go back. It's in there.
Anyway, that's going to get me to 73.
73. 61. I know that's a little low. I just was really bored in the second hour. Like
it gets a little repetitive. And
everything after they shot up the church until we're fighting on the wing, I'm like, okay, we know where we're going here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had like given it 5 points for the plot twist for the double cross.
Oh, okay, yeah. I remember being very surprised by that.
Yeah.
I just remember not caring about it. It's like, oh, this guy that only showed up halfway through the movie is, you know.
It's John motherfucking Amos.
Yeah.
I know.
But original Samuel L.
Yeah.
68 and a third. That feels right. That feels absolutely fine, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
68 and a third. That puts it, you know, in the middle. Sure. That's our holiday season.
Definitely not going in the holiday movie rotation.
65 and change for Eyes Wide Shut. 68 and change for Die Hard 2. Considering how much crap was on the list, I'm counting it as a win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, where is that bingo card that I gave up on? I don't know what we're doing. Because
I
this
also
is the
don't
last
have my bingo card this week.
It's the last week of the year.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything on here.
Because I had seen this before.
Wait, yeah. Wait, was there a train? Like every movie, I was like, was there a train? I feel like there there's should no have train. Been a train. Damn it.
There's no train.
Yeah.
What are the chances of one of us getting the song?
I don't know. 1990. I think I have a really good guess.
Okay.
Because I feel like I remember where I was in July of 1990. It was like right before high school. I started high school.
Oh yeah, isn't that a good feeling?
Yeah.
Watch that.
Here's what we're gonna start fresh for 2023.
Yeah.
And as we start fresh, I'm going to write down how this game works and what the rules are. So we're not going like, what happened? Did you? But is this your second? What happens when it's your second? We're gonna clarify this. Let's post a fan bingo
guide?
Card.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So if someone's like, hey, I have it, then I don't know, they get a prize.
Yeah. Speaking of fans, listeners, I always feel so weird saying fans.
I'm a fan of me!
You gave me fans and groupies at the beginning of the episode. It felt very uncomfortable.
Anyhoozles.
Yeah.
We did like the bracket on my Twitter to try to figure out of all the movies that we reviewed in 2022, which one was a fan favorite. And it just so happens to be Get Out.
Sure.
It's the same one as ours was the highest rated one. So
yeah,
thanks for everybody who played along.
That was fun.
Yeah. I appreciated the participation.
And speaking of things you can do, consider this a teaser announcement. We don't want to get all the way into it right now. It is very likely that within the next 6 to 8 weeks, in the first 2 months of the year, there will be a number one Movies in America week at Row House Cinema in Pittsburgh.
Woo-hoo.
We will show a couple of our favorites. I don't want to tell you because that could change as they try to get the rights, but the list we're working with, I think all of them were in our top 10.
I think so.
So they'll show a lot of great movies. We're probably going to do a couple of events, maybe even draw a movie live and watch it immediately.
Oh,
that's on the table, and we'll introduce some of the films as well. So stay tuned. Probably by the next episode, we will give you solid information on that. But I'll just say that someone asks you to do something on February 4th, think twice. Just put a pause on that. Just, you know, tell them to wait for a little while. Great. You can handle the truth. Robin, you've been on a tear.
Have I?
It feels like
I only have a couple things that I came in ready to talk about. One of which was Triangle of Sadness, which I watched on an airplane. And then I made my letterbox list of movies I watched for the first time on airplanes. I don't know if you saw that I did that.
I did.
And it's good. It is very, what is the guy's name? Something Ostlund, something like
that.
Yeah,
he did The Square and something else.
He did Force Majeure, right?
Yes.
Let's say yes.
Force Majeure is really good.
He has a style, and this movie is in that style.
Yes, he did Force Majeure.
Where it is very broad comedy that thinks it's very intellectual. And if you go in annoyed by that, you will find the movie unbearable.
Yeah.
But I was on an airplane and I was like, I'm just gonna give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna try to think this is funny. And I thought it was funny. I also think that Dolly de Leon got a surprise Golden Globe nomination. And I know that I probably should not care about the Golden Globes, but I am who I am.
Yeah.
And she's so good. And like, I kind of want her to get an Oscar nomination, even though I'm desperate for Stephanie Soo to get an Oscar nomination. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she could take her spot. But if she does take her spot, it's the one person I won't be annoyed by doing it.
Talk about Pearl.
Pearl insists upon itself.
It insists upon itself.
Well, yeah. That's true.
Did you watch Pearl?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It's good. Mia Goth is incredible, yeah. Right? Like, she's so... What she's doing in this movie is just mm-hmm. pure excellence. Mm-hmm. The movie itself, A, not my genre.
Right.
B, it insists upon itself. And it is so fucking proud of itself for being set during a pandemic. And come on. Gross.
As the world's biggest fan of this franchise, you're being a little grumpy for a movie you gave 4 stars out of 5.
I can't. Listen. I am so glad I watched it because of Mia Goth.
Yeah.
Everything that isn't her, I'm kind of, her mom's good too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I do recommend it. I was annoyed by it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think that's true for Triangle of Sadness too. 2 movies that I thought were very good and enjoyed watching and yet am annoyed by.
Wow. When I walked out of it, I was like, I love this. It's not quite as good as X. It isn't quite as good as X, but it's only grown in my mind, particularly the full audition sequence from waiting outside to the audition to the breakdown.
Yeah.
It's just a self-contained masterpiece. Whether or not the rest of the film keeps up with that, not quite. Although the monologue, the closing stuff does.
My favorite thing is the end credits.
Yeah.
That's another Letterboxd list I keep thinking about making movies where I like the end credits the best.
Yeah.
Pearl. Old. Super
what
8.
What happens during old?
All it is that the fonts grow serifs. But that's better than anything else in that movie.
He's got one coming out, and I'm like, are we going to do this again? Is everyone going to be like, he's back? And I'm going to be like, no, he's not. He's still not back. Yeah, I liked it a lot. Can't wait for the next one. You should watch X. I mean, if you watch this, there's nothing that's going to put you off.
I'll watch it when it's streaming somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have seen people putting a picture of her in the audition on the top of their tree with the caption, but I'm a star.
Oh.
That's nice.
Hey, I have Angel on top of my tree.
Oh, cute.
Get it? Get it? Camila, you are now the third and final one of us to watch She Said.
Yes, I watched She Said. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's I wasn't annoyed by anything other than the little journalist. What was her?
Zoe Kazan.
Is that who that is?
Not Carrie Mulligan.
Yeah, Carrie Mulligan, the little one. She was a little too weepy for me. Like, I don't know, like when Ashley Judd.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of weird.
When she agreed to go on the record, she's like, thank you, Ashley. Thank you. And she's crying. I was like, okay, I get it. There's a lot happening going through.
I would cry.
But then it happened again.
Right.
I was like, all right, calm down.
Yeah.
And then she's also, it seemed like a lot of fake sincerity that she was.
Oh.
She was putting on her journalist voice and her journal, like when she was talking to the women, and like it just seemed like really, oh, that's yeah, a run. That's good. It's good for you. You know, that kind of thing. I just felt like.
That's how you get them, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she's doing her job. Yeah. But it was annoying. But other than that, like, I gave it 3 stars. Like, I don't have any problems with it.
Nothing wrong with a film.
Yeah. As a film in itself, as a whole.
Yeah.
I'm glad they told the story
of
how it all came to be, and I'm glad it stopped where it stopped. Like, we didn't need to go, like, for, like...
The end of the book is they broke Christine Blasey Ford's story.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, so this doesn't always work. and I think that is a very smart way to end the book, right? And I understand why they didn't end the movie there, and I was relieved that they didn't end the movie there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I finally saw The Woman King, which it was weird because like the only thing and it felt kind of odd after watching that movie. But the only thing I could say when it was done was like, that was beautiful.
Oh,
like, and I don't know if it was necessarily visually beautiful or if the story was beautiful or what it was. I think it may have been like there was a last bit, something about relationships between the women. I think maybe that was it. Mm-hmm. What's really struck me, but I really enjoyed it.
Like, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah. It's not as gory as you're.
Okay.
Like it's going to
be.
Like,
if listeners recall that I saw the first 10 minutes of it because they played the wrong movie when I went to see Don't Worry, Darling. Mm-hmm. And I made the decision, I will not be seeing this in the theater because it is too violent.
Yeah.
But apparently the first 10 minutes are some of the most violent minutes.
Yeah. And I was kind of disappointed. I was like, I feel like there's not enough
you wanted
worrying
more.
Going on here. in this movie about a pack of warriors. But it was good. I finally saw Bullet Train, which I don't know how to describe it. But
a fun time.
Yeah, that is my movie. Yeah. Like, okay. That is like shit like that. Like, yeah. That's like what really, I don't know where it falls in, but like it's kind of like Smoking Aces. Mm-hmm. Or like
Colin watched it on the plane Snatch. Next to me, and he said this movie wants to be Snatched so badly.
Yeah. But you know, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's not taking, this movie doesn't take itself seriously at all. And like when Michael Shannon showed up, I was kind of like, this is gonna go weird. This could like one way, but he leans into it enough as to where it's like really.
He seems like the right person to cast. I haven't actually seen this movie. This is.
It just feels like you've seen it.
Right. I mean, I sort of watched it out of the corner of my eye.
Definitely. It's worth a view, worth a watch. And brand new on my list of to do on my to-do list, Aaron Taylor Johns. Just found out that
I hate that guy so much.
Why?
I find him a black hole of charisma.
Interesting.
I know. And he was good in the Netflix movie where you see Chris Pine's dick, and I was like, maybe he is
the
capable
something
of being
king.
Outlaw King?
That sounds right.
I think it's out.
Whatever,
I think it's called
it is,
Outlaw
I have
King.
To, I have to watch it.
That's like the one time I've liked him. I hated him.
I've only ever seen him in Kick Ass.
I hated him in Kick Ass. Really? I hated him in the Avengers movie he was in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was a Quicksilver or something.
Quicksilver. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The lesser Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a rough break for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going
to
do?
Like, they were like, yep, and we're going to not use this character anymore because we clearly lost here. So go with God, other Marvel movies.
But either way, like, I didn't realize that he was actually British in real life.
Also,
I thought, and Brian Tyree Henry, I feel like he could have worked on his British accent a little bit more, but he was enjoyable.
Oh, I didn't, because I was just watching Colin watch it. I didn't get to hear Brian Tyree Henry's voice. That should be interesting. Yeah, so I wonder, he divorced Sam Taylor Johnson. So I wonder if he's going to go back to being Aaron Taylor or Aaron Johnson. I can't remember which one was his.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him like that. Yeah. Like, I just found out, like, literally, I Googled him, found out he was 30, and he was, like, within range of me to lust after and not feel icky. So
I mean, well, he was married to a woman much older than him, so watch out, Dan!
He likes some older. And finally I saw Emancipation.
Will Smith.
I spent a few weeks going, is this gonna get enough traction that I'm gonna have to watch it? No. Good. All
that's
right.
Also how I feel about it.
Like, it started off with me watching it to write something for Looper, but I got 2 days into it and I had to pull out. I was like, you know what, I can't do this
anymore.
I'll
be writing something else.
I was like, I can't do this. Like, there's too much history. There's too much facts. There's too much stuff that we're not really sure about that happened in real life that I can't do this justice in the amount of time you need me to do this.
Yeah.
And also, it's really depressing looking at this photo over and over and over again.
Right.
So I need to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a hard time with, I just don't see Will Smith as being anything more than Will Smith. And Will Smith as an enslaved person. Like, it's not, it's Will Smith doing this thing.
Yeah.
And it's just not, he doesn't disappear into character for me.
Yep.
And I don't know if he was the right. They would have been better off with an unknown or somebody that's not as.
Right.
I don't think we needed it.
No, I. Yeah.
Well, he slapped Chris Rock. He tried to come back with a serious movie. It didn't work. Telling you, 18 months from now, Men in Black 5, whatever it is.
So this is literally like, this is what we get because he did, this is his penance?
I assume that he was already, that's only happened so many months ago.
No.
Like, it takes a while to make a movie shot.
It's not a literal thing, but I know that like they were thinking, okay, but if I do this really serious movie really seriously and show my soulfulness, then I can spin it into a year of difficulty and healing. Didn't work. All right. We're doing either a Men in Black or a Bad Boys. Anything else?
No, I did watch the show Kindred on Hulu. That's great.
Okay.
But I warn y'all now, like, if you've read the book or if you haven't read the book, like, it stops after, the story is not complete after 8 episodes.
Oh.
And we do not know if there's going to be a second season or not.
Oh, I hate that.
Right. So now I have to go. I never read the book by Octavia Butler, Kindred. So now I'm
you're gonna read the book.
Yeah, so I'm assuming there's there might be difficulty finding.
Apparently it's
book
a really great, I don't read very much, but apparently it's like a great book. Yeah. So you're gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing this holiday break.
You know how I don't watch TV?
Yeah.
I almost out of annoyance was like, fine, I'm watching the Marvel shows.
Oh. Because some of them are good.
Because I'm like,
everybody's always like, have you seen,
well, people talk about them, but more than that, it's like between having watched 25 of these movies and being a movie critic, like, I'm not going to not see the movies.
Right.
And now they're starting to slip. And, you know, this is a character from the show. I'm like.
Yeah.
Which is to say, I'm watching Loki and
all right.
Delightful.
That's one of the ones I haven't watched. And that's so probably fun. The one that is the most important for the upcoming movies.
Oh, really?
Probably, but more than that, it's just fun and cool.
And my sister-in-law liked it, and she doesn't go there. She's not a Marvel person, but for some reason watched Loki and was like, great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're quick. The saving grace, the longest ones are like 9 episodes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're as short as 6 episodes. I'm like, yes, right. Smart. Do
you
that.
You watched exactly WandaVision, though, right?
I watched WandaVision.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
It was early pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
We were all searching for joy.
We were all doing that.
And we found it in those first 5 episodes.
Yeah. Movies. Babylon will be out by the time you hear this. And boy, is that a whole lot of movies.
That's funny because I've never even heard of it until you tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Like, it has Oscar buzz.
You haven't been in the theater a whole lot lately. Mm-mm. I feel like I've seen the trailer 12 times.
I have seen the trailer many, many, many times.
Gotcha.
It is as long as Avatar. We're getting there, which is shocking for a, you know, old-timey Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
More than a lot of things, this decays as it goes on. The first hour, maybe hour 15, I'm like, this might be the best movie of the year. Mm. The next hour, I'm like, you're losing it. I'm invested. And then the last 45 minutes, it's like, what's even happening anymore? What are you doing? What are you trying to say? It doesn't really matter because that first chunk is such a fucking riot. Mm. And there's so many famous people being really, really good in this movie. And non-famous people being very, very good. The lead of the movie is a relative newcomer. That it doesn't matter. I still liked it a whole lot. It's not going to be in my top 10, but it'll be in my honorable mentions. Mm. It is very, very long. It's 3 hours and 9 minutes long.
Why?
But if you're invested, particularly if you've got a long afternoon to kill and you see it somewhere loud, this is the best score of the year by a mile.
Ooh, huh.
Yeah. Unbelievably good music that just makes it a great experience. It's a better experience than it is a movie.
Yeah, I plan to see it in the theater for that reason.
Yeah.
And also because it might not be available outside of the theater before the Oscars.
Yeah, yeah. No, you absolutely should. Now, The Whale, on the other hand.
Oh, boy.
Darren Aronofsky hates people now. Have we noticed? He really hates human beings.
He kind of always did.
The interesting thing...
I would argue he did not always hate people.
No, I don't think he always did.
And I think
it starts around Noah.
I never saw Noah.
Mm-hmm.
He is a weird person. I love his movies.
Yeah.
And I think he is a bad person.
Yeah.
And so I have no benefit of the doubt to give, which is why I am hoping to not have to see The Whale. Sorry, Brendan Fraser.
The hate started with Requiem.
Well, yeah.
But I think I haven't seen Requiem since... when it came out.
Don't ever go back.
Right. Like, why would I? When I was early on in dating.
That song is really good. That doo doo doo. That's why.
Early on in dating Colin, he was like, Requiem for a Dream is my favorite movie. And I was like, red flag. and also just so not in line with his personality.
My college best friend, she came over. We watched Requiem for a Dream. I walked her home. I asked her if she wanted to go out on a date. She told me she was gay. And then we were best friends. We were best friends for years.
That's great.
But I feel like Requiem for a Dream somehow set the tone.
Yeah. But I think of that as being a very like empathetic movie, right?
Yeah.
Really, it's like these people who are making bad decisions with their lives, like you could be hateful towards them. And to me, it's the opposite of that.
And The Whale is hateful towards him.
Correct.
The most interesting thing about it is that's not what the actors are bringing. The actors are bringing such sympathy and love and genuine emotion. And it's Brendan Fraser is fantastic.
Mm.
Not only, you know, the best performer, I didn't think he could perform. I didn't think he had this in him. He's unbelievably good. So is Hong Chau. So is Sadie Sink is great. And even the script, like, it's not, you know, there might be some things in the script. It's based on a play. There might be some things that you could quibble with. Like, is that sensitive? Is that not? But for the most part, no, it's perfectly okay about this guy and his choices. It's just the director clearly thinks that this is a monster. And like, to Darren... I mean, I'm reading into it, but what I feel coming off of it is that this movie is fundamentally about, you know, this guy is, you know, in a bad way. He's probably dying. Things have all gone wrong for him. And yet he still really loves the people around him. Mm-hmm. And it's about that empathy, even under these extreme conditions. And to the actors, that's the triumph of love and compassion. To Darren, that's bizarre. we're making this movie, because isn't it unbelievable that this horrible man still loves people?
Huh. I mean, I don't really know the plot. Is he just saying he's horrible because he's fat?
He is.
Doesn't he have like a bad relationship with his daughter he's trying to mend or something?
Yeah. It's what I would say is, surprisingly, this is also the same movie as Black Swan and The Wrestler. Okay. This is also a movie about someone pushing themselves to oblivion because of their problems and obsessions.
Okay.
That this is the way that Black Swan was partially about, look at what she's putting her body through, and the way The Wrestler was, look at how far he's willing to go. This is about he's going to kill himself because of grief and an eating disorder.
Right, but
and it's like
Black Swan and The Wrestler, they're both entertainers, right?
Yeah, that's so, part of why that's part of why this doesn't feel right.
Right.
Because it feels like the cast and even the screenwriter, you know, knows what this is, and Darren Aronofsky's like, come see the freak show.
Right. It's horrible.
It would have been so possible to do this sensitively, and I don't think it's a bad movie because the actors are so good. I just don't think anyone should see it because it just feels weird and gross.
Mm. It is weird and gross.
It's not terrible. If you end up deciding you don't want to give up your lifelong quest.
Right.
In the name of 100 minutes.
I know myself, and I've watched Woody Allen movies because of my lifelong quest, so I will end up watching this, but I will hate it.
Yeah, that's fair. And you don't have to do it at the theater. You can definitely do this at home.
For shorezies.
With one eye on the screen.
Right.
But the cast is great. I might still vote for Brendan Fraser because he's that good.
Right.
But, and finally, Avatar. I love Avatar now. Who saw that coming? What?
Camila's face.
The blue people and now the teal people. Oh my God. They're so cool.
It's just not fair that this is a radio show. I do want to say, I'm going to edit in last week before we started recording. I said, I'm really excited about Avatar. And Sean was like, you're an idiot. And when I was editing that episode, I knew that Sean had seen and loved Avatar. And so I was like saving that clip. So boop. I'm genuinely excited about Avatar. Like, I know. I don't know what to tell you.
Did you enjoy the first one?
I really enjoyed seeing it in the theater. No, I don't think it's good, but it's great to look at.
Okay.
And like,
well, that is your
choice. That'll be 3 hours of cool stuff to look at.
3 hours and 12 minutes.
Okay.
What?
We knew this was gonna happen. And listen, I don't give a shit about the family and the culture and oh my God, the sky people are coming. None of this shit matters. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. It looks like it's from the future. Mm. And I know that's what the last one did, so I shouldn't be surprised. But it looks like we skipped 15 years in the development of visual effects technology, and we're getting a gift from the year 2035. I can't, between the frame rate and just the 3D and the way everything works, it looks, your eyes and brain will forget that it's not reality. Huh. It's that level of a jump forward where it is so, and it's a giant IMAX screen, and you can be like, I'm going to look over there now. And that's as detailed as the face of the main character. Mm-hmm. It's just unbelievably cool to look at. The story is a story. It's, you know,
you don't need it.
It's fine.
So basically we could have just had the visuals played under like just music.
Like an art museum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, watching an aquarium.
Yeah. people are like, when it's 3 hours and 10 minutes long, when do we go pee? Whenever. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You're not going to miss anything. You're just here to look at the shit.
And Sean, what are your very strict instructions for our listeners?
If you watch this at home, you should be arrested. This should never, appear on a home television, let alone the back of an airplane seat. Like, if you don't go in the next 3 months that this is probably in theaters, it's gone. It's dead to you. There's no point. So you have to see it in 3D. It does not, it is not dim like 3D used to be. Like, he's figured out how to correct for it. You won't be bothered by, like, you know, you'll get used to wear your contacts, not your glasses. See it in 3D. See it in the biggest screen you can find. If there's a Cinemark near you, Cinemark XD is fine. Hopefully there's an AMC Dolby. That's the way I saw it. It was fantastic. And go to the middle of the row. Don't go to the side, because then the angle, I'm serious, this is important. I made Robin promise she would buy the right ticket.
I bought the right tickets.
And hey, this isn't a spoiler. I'm just saying, some people get trapped on a sinking boat near the end. I'm like, we've seen this before. He really likes this scenario.
My biggest anxiety right now about it is I still wear masks when I go in public, and I hate wearing glasses with a mask because they get foggy. I'm probably going to take my mask off while watching this movie, and I feel like I'm going to get COVID.
No, if you, the are you going to the Dolby Theater?
Yeah, and it's...
There's like 6 feet from every other human being anyway.
Okay.
You know, wear it in.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had COVID yet, so maybe I'm immune.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Go support this plucky little independent film. Avatar 2. And you should watch the movie Road Games from 1981.
Okay.
It is about a trucker who thinks that he has a serial killer in another truck near him and picks up hitchhiker Jamie Lee Curtis and they solve the mystery together.
That sounds awesome.
Yep.
Oh, you know what I didn't talk about last time, which I want to talk about, is the movie Between the Lines, directed by Joan Micklyn Silver from the 70s. It is Empire Records set at an independent newspaper. And it's on Tubi. Everyone should watch it. Jeff Goldblum's in it.
That's right. You were telling me about this.
To recap, full reset with the next one. This is the last draw of 2022. We're going to draw a movie. Camila does have a veto. and it expires after this week. So on the one hand, you could just, you know,
just
if you're not in the mood, you could throw it out
That's a dangerous game.
On the other hand, then we're going to land on The Hobbit 3 or Avatar and you're going to have to buy a ticket. You know, it's, it could be a whole thing. But before we get there, maybe we won't want to veto it. Maybe we'll want to watch Dillinger from 1973.
What?
What?
Or we're going to find out this is a secret Die Hard movie, too.
Yeah. I'm going to assume it's about John Dillinger.
Yeah, let's make sure that it exists.
Yeah, 1963.
Dan just came back in a long coat and made a little pose. 73, American gangster film, stars Warren Oates as Dillinger.
Who is Warren Oates?
Don't know.
I can't even spell Dillinger.
Cloris Leachman as the lady in red.
Academy Award winner Cloris Leachman.
Directed by John Milius. I don't know.
Does it exist? Like, can we rent it?
You know what? I don't care. I would like Cowboy 1963?
73.
73? Nope. I would like to go ahead and play that veto.
Sound effect?
Exercise my veto, man.
Okay, it may be free on YouTube. Just saying beforehand.
She's vetoed it.
It's over?
Yeah.
It's
over. I might watch it.
I mean, Dillinger's, you know what I'm Dillinger's like. A gangster more than a cowboy.
Okay, that's all right. But I'm just...
Yeah.
Hey, you had...
I would play my free-ish veto on that, too.
I'm going to be real sad if we do end up on, like, Avatar or something.
Or the whole thing was on YouTube. It was an hour and 47 minutes of our lives. Instead, now the veto's been played. Nothing could happen. We don't even have any other...
This does kind of look...
Hey.
Listen, you could still watch it. You are allowed to watch things without podcast requirements.
Am I?
You didn't get us out of the 70s. In fact, we went a little bit farther back for On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
I think that's like a disaster movie.
I'm sorry, guys.
No. An American musical comedy drama fantasy film starring Barbara Streisand.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And directed by Vincente Minnelli.
Oh, this sounds kind of fun.
Based on a stage production. It's a musical. Jack Nicholson's in it for some reason.
It's free on Pluto.
All right.
Even better.
Barbara Streisand musical. Should have stuck with the gangsters.
I know. Damn it.
Have we seen Barbara before on the podcast?
We sure have in Meet the Fockers.
Little Babs. And we got some early Babs.
This is the guy who directed Meet Me in St. Louis, An American in Paris. He's
Gigi. He's Liza Minnelli's dad.
He's Liza Minnelli's dad, apparently.
Huh. Never heard of this movie.
I mean, this feels like a lateral move, you know.
I guess.
It's as likely that this will be fun as Dillinger. Dillinger was probably going to be boring. Like,
probably. I feel like it would have been a lot of like echoed gunshots. Mm, you know, like the sound effects.
I know exactly what sound you're talking about.
And this will be more like, okay, so they liked this back then, did they? Bob Newhart is in it.
Wow.
Sure. Why the hell not? On a clear day, you can see forever.
Also, kind of a fun movie to start a year with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Let's justify this. It's fine. It's fine. Is it Die Hard 2? No, but it's we've had a lot of fun lately. Let's get bored for a while. Before that, it was the 4th of July. It was Independence Day, 1990. What was the number one song in America? Camila has a good guess.
Was it New Kids? Step by Step?
Correct. Yay! There you go.
Does that get you a bingo?
I won't let you re-veto.
No, it does not. But it does mark off that pesky space.
Yeah. That sounds like the summer of 1990, all
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure does.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Was that going to be your guess?
No.
Were you just going to say Mariah Carey?
Actually, I feel like that's a little early for Mariah
That is
yeah.
early.
Yeah. No, I was going to guess Wilson Phillips.
Mm.
Is it New Kids or Backstreet Boys that you're all into?
Okay, what's funny is I just saw a meme about this where it's like Backstreet or NSYNC.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not Backstreet or New Kids.
No, I know, but no. I know that you're really into one of them, and I know you're not really into NSYNC. I knew you were into one of the
New
two.
Kids.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. She's in her 40s.
Look, I like Billie Eilish. That's not appropriate.
Okay. How old is she?
12.
She is a full. I think she just turned 21.
Okay.
Yeah. The music. We're talking about music
sure,
here.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.